I was very, very impressed with how comfortable everybody made me feel in the hallway just now. It's obviously going to be much better pitch on what I'm trying to get everybody involved in. Because I'm so comfortable, I was going to wear, you know, hat and jacket. Then I took off the hat and asked about the jacket, and they said, whatever makes you feel comfortable. So thanks so much for all those individual people that were helping me. And then somebody just came over, he needed something to drink. Rabbi Jacobs, he asked me if I want some water. It's very impressive. So obviously, I want people to listen to what I'm saying. So besides for it being a good thing to be mishabech people, because that's an amazing thing to do, and it's the cheapest and quickest refuah for depression is to give people praise and tell them how much you appreciate them. Thank you very much. Now that I was able to thank what I'm able to say, I'm going to thank what I'm not able to say, because if you can't do that, then, you know, it's... Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nihye bidvaroi. So, let's get started. Number one, just to give everybody a kind of feeling of where we're headed, I believe that the words that I'm going to say tonight have the power to change the way that you think for the rest of your life, to change the way that you look at the world. And obviously, a person's going to say, well, that's a little bit arrogant. And it's okay, because I'm basing what I'm saying on the Chavos of Avos. So it's perfectly okay to say that the Chavos of Avos has things inside of it that are going to change the way that you look at the world for the rest of your life. Obviously, if you decide to take what he says and make it lemaisa. So the first thing that we're going to try to focus on is why I chose Chavos of Avos. The reason I chose Chavos of Avos is really an accident, because I grew up in Brooklyn, and in Brooklyn I never heard the name Chavos of Avos. Maybe I did, but I don't remember ever hearing that name. And as I went through yeshiva and I made it to Eretz Yisrael, I still hadn't heard of Chavos of Avos, or at least I don't remember. And when I started the reading Chavos of Avos, I realized that there are two major problems that I was having in life that were both taken care of by what the Chavos of Avos is saying. So if you relate to these problems, then this Chavos of Avos is really going to change your world. If you don't relate to it, then I still believe that it can change your world, but it's just like going to be a little bit more difficult to apply it. So these were the two problems. And these are the two problems that the Chavos of Avos starts off in Shar V'Chinah discussing. Number one, I personally did not feel any, enjoyment in going to do mitzvahs. It wasn't, I'm being honest, you know, everybody made me feel comfortable in the hallway, so I'm also already out of yeshiva and learning a course, so I don't have to worry about not getting accepted into, you know, yeshivas. I can tell you the truth, I wasn't excited about doing mitzvahs, number one. Besides for not excited about doing mitzvahs, there was also a lack of feeling that there was a Hashem involved in the mitzvahs that I was doing. So I know that, I don't know if anybody, where people are from, but I went to yeshiva for high school, Misifta Chaim Shlomo, it's the high school of Darchei Torah. Anybody? Yeah? Oh, a lot. Okay, great. So there's a rabbi there, Rabbi Trank. Is he still there?
Yeah.
So me and Rabbi Trank had a very special relationship. So I would come into yeshiva in the morning, and I would go into the classroom, Rabbi Epstein, if he's still there, and I would, you know, take out, I don't know, a book or a CD player. And then when I would hear Rabbi Trank coming around, so I thought of the greatest excuse that now I don't have to go into davening is that my stomach hurts. Because with a stomach ache, you don't really get sent home, but at the same time, like, you can't put on tefillin. So, Baruch Hashem, we're all mature enough. Nobody's going to use this, obviously. But that was my relationship with him. He would come in, I would say, I have a stomach ache, and he would say, so why'd you come? And that was, like, a long time. It was very successful excuse on how to get out of putting on tefillin. Now, the shirish of that excuse was very simply because I didn't feel any eschaivos or any relationship with Hashem. And when I found Chavos of Avos, after I was learning in Beis Yisrael, I was, I guess, 21 years old, in Neve Yaakov, and somebody came in my room, and he said, who wants an English book? I think that he was trying to get rid of it, because he didn't want English books in his library, so I figured if it's a free book, I'll take it. So I started reading this book. Now, the Chavos of Avos he says very in very, very explicit words that he has the secret to having a clear perception. He calls it hayichiyach mitziyosai, to be able to know internally, externally, that what I'm doing is constantly connecting to Hashem. It's an amazing sentence, because if we're honest with ourselves, how much of our day are we actually thinking about that? It's probably not so much. We have a lot of other things to do, like, you know, learn Gemara, daven, eat, sleep. And the first sentence in Shaar B'chinah, he says that this is what we're going to be focusing on. That we're going to be focusing on Hakaris, I think he says, Hayichiyach Mitziyosai. And to be actually living with that in a real way, when we say these words, just to translate in English, to have proof of his existence in a way that the same way that I know that my hand is here and I'm aware of my hand, that I can be aware of Hashem. So again, when I started off, I was saying that these are going to be things that can literally change the way we look at the world. This is what I'm talking about. It's going to be that when I walk around, we're not just talking about sitting in front of a Gemara. Because when I'm sitting in front of Gemara, of course I'm thinking about Hashem. But we're talking about when I'm walking down the stairs to go to a bus, am I aware of Hashem? Because Hashem is definitely aware of me, and Hashem is doing tons of things that I can actually tap into and become so much more aware of Hashem. Now, these were the two problems. This is what he's coming to fix. Okay. Now, having said this, it's very, very easy for people to hear these ideas. I know that it's very, very common. I was just speaking to somebody an hour ago, and they were telling me about something called positive psychology, where you, like, you know, emphasize positive emotions, and, like, you know, when something spills on the floor, there's Rabbi Zelig Pliskin. Anybody hear of Rabbi Zelig Pliskin? He's constantly speaking about these ideas. I didn't do this on purpose, but I have his card. I try to carry this card around. You know about this card? This card is an amazing card. It has the 9 secrets to being happy all the time. He's very into this and focusing on the positive. And somebody was saying, somebody just asked me about, like, you know, it's a little bit hard to imagine that you can all of a sudden, you know, something spills on the floor, you just focus on the positive, ignore your negative feelings. What about all those other, you know, therapies and psychology that I hear about, that you have to, you know, work on your negative feelings and do this and do that? So the answer to that question is there's truth on both sides. However, the reason why people right away, when they hear about this positive psychology idea, the reason why they don't want to delve into it is simply because they can't imagine how it's going to work. So because I can't imagine how it's going to help me, that when something spills on the floor, to train myself to say, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive, Baruch Hashem, there's gravity, which, by the way, is an amazing thing to thank Hashem for, because if there wasn't gravity, then we'd have a very, very hard time relaxing and chilling the way that we are right now. We'd probably have special boots on our feet, we'd probably live in special rooms, and the whole world would look different, and it would be a very annoying life, much more, and people say, oh, but I'd get used to it, like, lav dafka, there's a lot of things in life that you don't get used to, and, you know, so That's the fact. That's one of the things that he says to do. Something spills on the floor. I asked him this question: what do you do when something spills on the floor? It's very annoying. He says, "Well, it's really great that there's gravity still working. Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. Baruch Hashem, there's gravity." When a phone goes off in the middle of a shir, anybody who's ever heard a shir, when a phone goes off in the middle of a shir, he says, "Don't worry." He wants phones on in the shir. Because when a phone goes off in the middle of the shir, he says, "Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. Baruch Hashem, I could hear." And everybody in the shir says it together. It's really geschmack, because I have a choice in when I hear the phone go off to say, this is another opportunity to connect to Hashem, to be more aware of Hashem, or I can use it as an opportunity to get rid of Hashem and say, I want to be angry, and how dare that guy have his phone on in the middle of the show. It's too, you know, obviously this is not to be taken. You can't use this and say, well, I'm going to leave my phone on in all shears now because that guy should be saying this. But if you ever get an opportunity to do a shear, then you can decide on whether or not the pros outweigh the cons. However, this is very much what I want to bring out. The idea that just because I can't imagine it working doesn't mean I shouldn't try. Rav Dessler says something. If you've been spacing out until now and then you're planning on spacing out the rest of the time, this one idea, it's worth it to just hear this one idea, because it's so mind-blowing the way that he says it. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says that I hope I'm not, like, busting any bubbles over here. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. It says, the way of Torah is to eat bread, right? A little bit of bread, drink water, and it doesn't even say you can drink as much water as you want. It says, Mayim Yeshura. You have to be measured with your water, right? You sleep on the floor, and you live a life of tsar. Okay, so I hear, all right, so I hope nobody was expecting a life of not tsar, but that's what it says. But then something very strange happens. The end of the Mishnah says, so everybody should be jumping out of their seats right now. It's a stira, safe for the ratio. You just told me that it's going to be a life of tsar. And the second lady, you tell me it's Ashrecha Ba'olam Hazeh. So, you know, there might be many answers to this question, but Rav Elazar says such an amazing answer. He says, you're not medayak in the Mishnah properly. If you read the Mishnah, it says, im oisakein, or im lasakein. I don't remember the exact lashon. If you do this, then ashrecha v'tayvlach. Because it's only talking to people who actually do it. A person that sits and learns for 10 hours straight, and he's only eating bread and only drinking water, and you ask him, how do you feel? I can guarantee you he's going to say, I feel exactly like what the Chazon Ish wrote when he said, well, when a person learns 10 hours straight, it feels amazing. But when you're looking at him, or when I look at him, whatever, maybe people here are more in tune with this. When I look at him, I don't see any ashrecha v'tayvlach. I don't see that ashrecha because he's painting himself. But says Rav Dessler, in Lazuskin, you have to do it. It's not talking to people who don't do it. The people that do it experience it, and like the famous, and it's crazy, because now that I'm saying this, I just had a Ha'ara, it says in the Mesillas Yesharim, this idea that four great words from the Mesillas Yesharim, they're all amazing words, obviously, but these are four great words, that's how Rabbi Pliskin says it, four great words which are, what is it? Ma'ayrais apanimius? Tenuas echitzonius maris apanimius. What does that mean? Outside actions will awaken inner feelings. And then he doesn't bring a raya for this from anywhere, but he says that nisayan is made on this. That if you try it, then you're going to see it works. So what do I do when I'm tired and I'm learning? Learn with enthusiasm. What do I do when I'm in a bad mood? Act like I'm in a good mood. I raise up my hands. I say, yeah, I'm so not happy that I'm in a bad mood right now, but I can't wait till that passes and I'm in a good mood. And you try to talk like that, and I'm not excited to go and, you know, whatever the mitzvah might be, I'm not excited to go, whatever, you know, fill in the blank. I'm not excited to do this mitzvah, but I can act like I'm excited to do. Like the Mesillas Yesharim says himself, that it's much more in our hands to do the actions than the thoughts, the feelings. So you do what's in your hands, then Hashem gives you what's not in your hands. But again, he says that Nisayin is made on this, that when you try to do this, you see that it works. So I think that maybe, it's possible to say that maybe that's what the Mesillas Yesharim is talking about. That maybe, that's the reality, that a person not willing to do this, how do you get a person who's in a bad mood and say, come on, just jump up and let's go on a jog and you're going to feel better? I don't buy that. That's not me. I'm feeling bad right now. How's jumping up going to solve my problems? How's acting like I'm happy to do the mitzvah going to solve my problems? Says Mr. Sharm, you have to try it. And this is what Rav Dessler says, im lasas kein, if you do it. So I'm just giving that introduction because I started off with this like kind of amazing, mind-blowing statement that if you listen to the words of the Chavos of Avos, it's going to change the way that you look at the world. But you have to realize that it might sound a little bit mechadish, a little bit of a new novel idea, so I'm not interested in trying it. But you see from this Rav Dessler, and again from this Mesillas Yesharim, that if you try it, you're going to see how amazing it is. So just try it, and don't try it like the people, oh, I'm going to try it. I'm really happy right now. I want to be happy. I'm so angry. You have to actually want it to work in order for it to actually work. So, number one, he says that Hashem is constantly giving us amazing things. Always, always giving us amazing things. Like it says, like we say every single day, Tayv Hashem Lakol. We're just too blind to see it. So he says an amazing thing. He says that, why is it? In other words, it's a little bit counterintuitive. If I give you a dollar every 5 minutes, if I would walk around the room, that would be an amazing share. Then I'd get a lot more people to get involved in this idea. I just walk over everybody every 5 minutes and I give them a dollar. Or maybe let's say $5 even. Every 5 minutes I walk around, I give them a dollar. Is there anybody in this room that's going to forget this, you know, share? Is there anybody in the room that if I call them up, be like, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you put up a sign? I'm trying to start like a chabur, like I want to come back on Monday night. So like, can you like, you know, help me out? Of course, what are you talking about? For half an hour you spoke, you gave up $5 bills every 5 minutes, five times, what would that come out to? $10, $30 you gave? Yeah, for sure, just for sitting and listening to this. That, no question. So, when we relate to Hashem, and we relate to how aware are we of Hashem, so then we have to ask ourselves that question. Is Hashem giving me $5 right now? Am I experiencing any gifts from Hashem right now? So the Chavos of Avos says, yes we are. We're all experiencing amazing gifts. We're all of our eyes are working right now, following me as I pace back and forth. And nobody is telling their eyes to do this. It's all happening automatically from our amazing brains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. We're all sitting with our knees bent. This is one thing that I would like everybody to remember me by, that I was the Baruch Hashem for knees man. Because we always sit all the time, so you'll constantly be reminded of Hashem, because your knees make you sit very comfortably. And without your knees, it would be very uncomfortable to sit. If you ever tried to stand up without using your knees, if anybody ever chas v'shalom broke their leg, then they experienced this very strongly, that they realize how amazing their knees are. So Baruch Hashem for knees, man, that I want people to realize. One time I gave a class and I had everybody in the class walk up the stairs without using their knees. And we obviously didn't get too far. Rabbi Streicher knows where I was able to do that kind of shenanigan. We weren't able to get too far, obviously. But after they said, okay, so now let's all use our legs and our knees. And we ran up, and a guy ran all the way up to the sixth floor, and I heard his voice echoing through the building, Baruch Hashem for knees, right? So this is, I mean, if you don't like this idea, it's okay, I'm not going to force you to. It happens to be that the Chavos of Ovis later on says that it's a chiyuv, midaraisa, midarabanan, and menaseichel. However, I'm not going to force it on you. But it's an amazing way to live, to walk around and appreciate Hashem. And it's better than that, because then you ask yourself, what kind of person am I? I'm the kind of guy that appreciates Hashem. That's an amazing person to be. That's an amazing thing to be. And it's something that I want to strive to. And I know that going around and giving these classes is one of the most powerful things that helps me do that, because when I talk about it, like I said a bracha before, I don't make brachas like that all the time, but I know if I'm sitting in front of a room and everybody's looking at me and I'm talking about how amazing Hashem is, and at least then for those few minutes I have to be. And that's another thing that we should bring out, that even if you're not going to do anything that we talk about from the Chavos of Avos, these few minutes that you had in this room automatically have elevated your awareness of Hashem, because for the past half an hour we've been speaking about how amazing Hashem is. So even don't, you know, start feeling bad, oh, I'm not going to do this stuff anyways. It's fine, because at least you got a half an hour of awareness from Hashem. So that's as far as doing the practical things. Now, the question is, who told me that I can connect to Hashem through seeing my knees? Who told me that I can connect to Hashem through seeing the fact that we're all sitting on seeds? And when I say seeds, I mean seeds that were planted to make trees that we're all sitting on, because all of these wood benches and all the books in front of us were all made from trees. That's a pretty amazing thing, and there has not been any scientist, especially in our generation, or anybody in the world that has figured out how we can, you know, reproduce such a process, right? Trees are made by God, and that's what we should be thinking every time we see a sefer or a shtender or anything. And then we can go into metal, which comes from mountains. I mean, it's unstoppable. It is stoppable if you stop thinking about it, but if you want to think about it, it's unstoppable. But there's a Mishnah in Shabbos. It says that banim are yoytzim b'ksharim. Banim yoytzim b'ksharim means that children are allowed to carry on Shabbos the ksharim. What are ksharim? Right, ksharim is, it's referring to a child who his father leaves for an extended amount of time, and the child's going to miss his tati. So what does the father do? What all good fathers do. They take off the right shoelace and tie it onto the son's arm. Okay? I don't know if you should try this at home, if anybody ever has their kids, like, you know, missing them, probably buy them like a remote control car or something. But in olden days, life was simpler, and all you had to do was take a shoelace off your shoe and tie it on the kid's arm. Now, what's the explanation of this? The Bar Tanur explains, I never learned the Gemara, I just learned this in the Mishnah. He says that when the kid looks at the string, what's he going to think about? Anybody? What's the kid going to think about when he looks at the string? Right. But it doesn't say that the father was the string salesman of the town, and every time there was a string crisis, everybody ran to the father and said, please, we need strings, and he was known for strings. No, it was simply the string that his father had on his shoe. So now, that's number one. All we have to do is tell ourselves, what is this thing? And we're able to, physiologically, emotionally, it changes this kid. It says in the Lashon Bartaner that he's got go on his father, he misses him. He looks at it, he gets into a good mood. Amazing. It's not modern, you know, modern day psychology. This is a Mishnah in Shabbos, right? Another place that we find the same idea is by tzitzis. There's a famous Torah, the Mishnah Berurah brings it, that when I look at my tzitzis, right, the mashal of the Torah is that if you would wrap a string around your finger to try to remember something, then it'll help you remember it. So again, you see that it doesn't have to be that there's any be'etzim thing in the string. It just has to be that you choose that when you look at this thing, this is what you think. And subconsciously, we do this all the time, because when somebody we hate walks in the room, what do we automatically think in our minds? I hate that guy. Now, how do we do that? So there's a lashon that they try to say on the pasuk. I don't know if it's a pashup shot at the end by the siyum they say. I'm pretty sure it's not the pashup shot. It says ma'oivai tichkameini, for my enemies. I they touch up that I become smarter. That from the negative things I can try to learn positive. So this is a great example of it. That when we go to the world of negativity, it's very easy to automatically hate somebody when I see them. So you see that if I choose that when I see, for example, my knees when I'm walking up the stairs, I will automatically get into a world of I appreciate Hashem. So those are the two ideas, Elchatzitzis and Yoytz Miksharim, that you see that it's just a matter of choice. I just have to choose that when I see this thing, it says something to me. It's a tiskor, it's a reminder about how much Hashem loves me. When I see myself walking up the stairs, I remember how much Hashem loves me. And if I train myself in the way that the Chavos Levavos says to, which is Arichas Gedoylan, exactly how to do that, then we walk around so much happier in this world, Pasha. And the mitzvahs that we do, and that was the problem that I started off with, that it wasn't exciting to do mitzvahs. When you now have an awareness of Hashem all around you, and you look at your tefillin, and instead of just seeing tefillin, you see a cow that ate grass, that turned it into leather, and you're wearing it on your arm now, and you say Asher Kedishonu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that created such a phenomenal world. I hope that everybody agrees with me that if we were willing to do this, then it would be an amazing experience when we put on our tefillin, because we'd actually be aware of how amazing Hashem is when we do put on our tefillin. Another shenanigan that I did in a place where I was able to do these kinds of things, that when a guy would tell me I don't want to put on tefillin, I would say that's fine, but don't use your left arm until you do. And I'd say, why? So I'd say, when you realize how amazing your left arm is, and Hashem just told you to do one thing with it, 24 hours that you get to use it, it'll be a lot easier for you to put on tefillin. And it's so true to live life in this way. And this is exactly what the Chavos Levavos is saying. It says that the reason why we are not constantly overwhelmed with how amazing Hashem is simply because we're just not making these reminders for us. Like, for example, I could have just, my throat was very dry right now, and I was very shy that I could have accidentally gagged, and I would have spit that water everywhere. And I have to be grateful to Hashem that that didn't just happen, because that would have been really embarrassing. I'm sure everybody here would make me feel comfortable and say, oh, it happens all the time or something. But it's just, you see, I don't think about that, but as I'm sitting here talking about it, thinking about it, I'm able to tell myself in my mind different answers on how to do that. So it has to do with just making a choice in life that I'm choosing to see Hashem in everything that I do. And then you open up the Shulchan Aruch and you're like, whoa, it's the first siman in Shulchan Aruch. How did I miss that one? It says I have to think about Hashem all the time. Somebody pulled one over me. Like, it's not like at the end of Shulchan Aruch. We're talking about the first page, you know, like, how do you do that? How do you get Shemitah Shana? This is the Milas of Tzaddikim. So we learn, it's the Milas of Tzaddikim, and Mela, I don't have to do it. It's like a Chumrah for other people. No, the Chumrah is telling us how to do it. So he says that number one reason why we're not doing this, there are three reasons. We're not going to get to all of them tonight, so I'm just going to try to speak out one of them. Before I try to speak out one of them, maybe I asked a question, I didn't answer it. I notice this sometimes that I go to classes, share and whatever, and they ask a question, and then they get so excited about what they're talking about, they forget to come back to it. So if anybody noticed that, or if you have any questions or comments or criticisms, then you can feel free. I'm open to hear anybody's questions or comments or criticisms. Like, maybe you had an experience once where you're like, you know, maybe your leg was broken, and you're like, wow, I can't believe how amazing my leg is. I never noticed it before until it broke. You want to share that with us. If anybody has something, you just like, you know, put up your hand and I'll say, you know, what's your name, where are you from, and okay. Anyways, no pressure. So let's do reason number one why we're not doing what is, I mean, it's so counterintuitive. We're getting these presents and matanais from Hashem all day long, nonstop. Once, when you're in the world of the Chavos Levavos, the fakir doesn't make sense. You know, like when you learn a Gemara, you're supposed to like understand each svara that, if you understand Beis Shammai, you can't understand Beis Hillel. And if you understand Beis Hillel, you have to really get into... So when you're in the world of Chavos Levavos, it doesn't make sense. Like, how could I walk around so numb to how amazing Hashem is? How is that shayach? It's almost like a nace that Hashem like made it that I could like not recognize him, because I'm just constantly, even as I pace back and forth right now, like, everything's working good. I'm like just waving my hands, like I don't even notice. It's just the natural... Anyways, so the reason why we don't do this, he says, is because we're constantly focusing. This is number one reason. We're constantly focusing on what we don't have. And an example of this is when we are running for a bus. and we miss the bus, and we get angry, obviously, and we take out our phone, which is connected to, I used to think that it was connected to satellites. If anybody was wondering how your voice gets from here to America, it's not through satellites. Does anybody know how our voice gets from here to America, by the way? I'm serious. He knows?
Hashem.
That is the right answer. And I hope that this experience has brought me closer to Hashem to realize that the answer is always Hashem. Now, how does Hashem want me to appreciate him and see how amazing he is? I used to think it's satellites. How about this? If anybody here is alive, raise your hand. I do that before I ask people to raise their hand because I found that when I ask people to raise their hand, nobody raises their hand. So I'm not sure if people are listening or not, if they don't agree with what I'm saying. Does it make sense that I would think that the voice in my phone travels to America through a satellite? Does that make sense by a raise of hands? Like, is that how your voice, doesn't that make sense? Like, your voice goes into your cell phone and then to a radio tower and then into the satellite. That's what makes sense, right? Does anybody here know Lemaisa, how it actually happens? Because it doesn't go to the satellite. And it was such a shock to me because I used to go around all the time like, oh wow, I got this little machine over here and it's connected to a satellite and it's so amazing. And I realized it's even more amazing, Lemaisa. So does anybody want to know? For the rest of your life, you're going to remember me. Because you know what? And better yet, you're going to remember Hashem. Because you're going to take out this little plastic, you know, $5 made in China that we buy for whatever, $150, and you're going to take it out and you're going to see, wow, Hashem, not because it says it on the screensaver, which is a good etzah. You should put that on your screensaver, and you should put on your screensaver a lot of amazing things that you want to remember. That, wow, this is an amazing phone. I used to go around telling people, hello, yeah, wow, thank Hashem that the satellites are working. They're like blown away. And the reason why I thought of that is only because of Chavos Levavos, because Chavos Levavos tells you, think about what's happening. It was like one of my only chedushim, and I was so proud of it. And it got shot down because I was learning Chavos Levavos to somebody else, and he actually looked into it, and he found out. Does anybody want to give it a try? What? Transatlantic cable, you guys know it, man. Wow. Thank you, Hashem, that there was somebody here. It's such a better vibe when, like, somebody knows we get to, like, all be interactive. That we didn't plan this, by the way. I don't know who that is. We're totally... Thank you. Transatlantic... Now, what does... Well, no. We didn't do that. This is all legit. Okay? What is it? Oh, transatlantic cable. There are thousands of miles under the water that have wires in them. That Hashem created from mountains, right? Because that's where metal comes from, I think. Unless I get corrected on that also. Which will also make me come closer to Hashem, because I'll never get closer to Hashem. I'll be a tremendous humility if everything that I say keeps getting shut down or corrected. But since we're just appreciating Hashem, it doesn't matter anyways. Because what's the difference between appreciating Hashem and the satellites or appreciating Hashem and the transatlantic? What did you call it? Cables. I never even knew that was the name. I was going to call it underwater wires. Transatlantic cable sounds so much better. Hashem nature, it goes under the water through all the fish and the crabs, and our voices are under the water. When you speak on a phone, it's traveling, you're having a conversation underwater. You know, if you want to go a little bit deeper, being the Kaddish, the, you know, parts of the earth you can never get to, and being raised in the Netzaitzais. So the point is, seriously, you probably are. Anyways, the point is that when a person runs for a bus, they miss the bus, they take out this phone, it's connected to these transatlantic cables, these transatlantic cables, and he's angry. Hello, look at what you have. You missed the bus. Yes, you're right. Acknowledge that you missed the bus. But you're sitting at the bus stop connecting the transatlantic cables that are connected somehow back, routing through satellites, which Lemaisa, for this example, you do need satellites because the satellites or the GPS on the buses is telling you when the next bus is going to come. That's amazing. But we don't do that because we don't learn Chavos Levavos. And the Chavos Levavos tells us that if we're going to start learning the book, then this is what's going to happen. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope that you remember to appreciate your knees. And I have some cards that can help you remember these ideas. If anybody wants them, you can come over to me and I'll give them the card.